go ahead and go back on the record. Councils, did you have an opportunity to review the documents issue and all ready to go admit them?
Yes, we did. We've agreed. I have no objections to the exhibits being offered by Mr. Rogers, and he stated to me that he has no objections to the exhibits that we are offering. And they should be, I believe our exhibits are numbered 1 through 20.
Okay.
And Mr. Rogers, I don't remember the last number of your exhibit.
Ours are exhibits for the exchanges 1 through 20, and I'm sorry, 1 through 15, we've moved for their admission for the exchange, and we have no objection to the department's exhibits 1 through 20.
All right.
So I guess for record purposes, if we want to stick to the same numbering scheme, ours will be numbered TDI 1, TDI 2, et cetera, and similarly, Farmers 1, Farmers 2.
Very well. Admitted then.
Thank you.
Thank you. Council, go ahead and call you the next witness.
Good afternoon. My name is Stan Strickland for the record. I represent TDI, and at this time I'd like to call Betty Patterson as our next witness.
Good afternoon, Commissioner.
Good afternoon.
Ms. Patterson, would you state your name for the record?
My name is Betty Patterson.
And then please describe your educational history and your employment history, and describe generally the respective job duties connected with your employment history.
Yes. I graduated from the University of Texas in Austin with a Bachelor of Business Administration degree in accounting. I'm a licensed certified public accountant here in Texas. I have the designation of accredited financial examiner from the Society of Financial Examiners. I started with work with the department in early 1988 as a life financial analyst. Over the years, I have been promoted to different positions, including supervising property casualty analyst, director of financial analysis and financial monitoring. That was the merger of three divisions in the financial program. And I've held my current position as senior associate commissioner of the financial program since early 1999. Our program oversees everything from incorporation and licensing of companies through all the in-between life and to rehabilitations and receiverships if we need to go there.
Ms. Patterson, do you have any other professional activities or affiliations like that you'd like to mention?
Well, I do participate. The designations that I have as a CPA and as an AFU with the Society of Financial Examiners requires continuing education. I'm very active in the National Association of Insurance Commissioners in a number of areas there, developing procedures and guidelines, handbooks, and so forth for solvency monitoring purposes for the most part. But a number of areas there too as far as that extend to company licensing and some of the international activities, too.
In your capacity as Senior Associate Commissioner of the Financial Program and in preparation for your testimony in this case, were you asked to review and analyze specific matters related to Farmers Insurance Exchange?
Yes, I was.
And what were the issues that you considered?
The two issues were whether the reduction in the rates for farmers of 17.5% on their homeowners would create a endanger, or rather, whether that reduction would endanger the solvency of farmers, and also whether it would either cause a substantial decrease in competition or create a monopoly here.
And did you also look at those same matters or analyze those same matters with regard to the fire insurance exchange?
Yes, I did.
What documents have you reviewed as part of your analysis of farmers and fire's financial condition to draw the conclusion as to whether continued use of the reduced rate would endanger their solvency?
Okay. For the most part, I used the 2002 annual statement, the 2003 March, the March 31st, 2003 quarterly statement, and the June 30th, 2003 quarterly statements that were filed by each of the exchanges. I also had discussions with my staff.
Are those documents you just mentioned the documents that were attached to your pre-filed testimony?
Yes, they are.
If you could relay to us some of the specific factors and some of the findings you made in drawing your conclusion with regard first to Farmers. I guess we'll do this. It'll be easier to do this if I ask you to do this one company at a time, and then give the same with regard to Fire Insurance Exchange.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for the most part, what I did was look at the financial statements to kind of get an idea of some of the historical background or a feel for what the operations and reporting results for Farmers had been. There's, you know, different information in the annual statement, five-year historical, as well as I indicated, the 2002 annual statement itself and the two quarterly statements for 2003. I looked at different things, such as the level of capitalization. In the case of Farmers, they report roughly about $2 billion in policyholder surplus. That has increased a bit over the last three periods, from year-end 01 to year-end 02 to June 30th of 03. I did look at what their history of net losses had been. They had reported losses from 1999 to 2001. In 2002, Farmers reported a net income. I did look, and as my affidavit says, looked at some of the investment gain versus the underwriting loss. Why the net income was there. They did record a tax benefit, although the investment grade in 2002, the investment income had roughly matched the underwriting loss. They wrote off some agents and premium balances, but they also took a tax credit, so that resulted in a net profit there. Going into 2003, the investment gains exceeded underwriting losses, but they recorded a big negative for income tax, as well as still writing off some agents and premium balances. So at June 30th, 2003, they recorded a net loss of about $51 million. I looked at some of the premium volume, I guess, and particularly what part of that is in Texas. Farmers reported in 2002 that it wrote roughly $3.8 billion in premium across the country. Of that, about 7.56% was in Texas, and then a little bit smaller percent of that was Texas homeowners. The Texas premium at that, as I said, at 2002 was about 7.56%. That percentage has decreased a little bit in the first 6 months of this year. I looked at, took into consideration not just the dollar amount of the surplus, looked a little bit over their investments. They seem to be very high quality. Looked at their risk-based capital results, looked to see if they were recording a premium deficiency reserve. That would give me a picture of what they thought about their premium rates. In the case of those latter two things, Farmers noted that it didn't set up a premium deficiency reserve, that it does do that evaluation, and that it had not determined a need to do so. In the case of risk-based capital, the calculation itself is not done, but the statement, five-year historical reports, adjusted capital, the company's adjusted capital, as well as the authorized control level. And so when you do that calculation, the results were roughly about in the 200, for year-end 02 was about 270%. Maybe a tad over that. That's above any of the action levels under the NAIC model or under what we've adopted here in Texas. The action levels start, or I guess there's four different action levels. The highest one is 200%, and then they come down from there. So the risk-based capital was above that in the Farmers case. I looked at premium to surplus ratios. Our general guidance for solvency monitoring under our hazardous financial condition for a property casualty company is 3-1 net premium to surplus. Farmers has been under that ratio and even decreased a little bit. At year-end, it was about 2.4-1, and at June 30th, 2003, it was about 2.1-1. So, in general, I looked over, you know, the financial statements to kind of determine what the a bit of history there and just kind of get a feel for the financial condition of the company, and then to determine whether this reduction in rates would endanger the solvency of Farmers. And I do rely on the work that our department actuaries have done. Their conclusion has been that the rate reduction would still provide for losses, expenses, and a little profit. So based on that, that would indicate to me that there would not be an endangerment to the solvency, combined with, I guess, the financial condition of Farmers that I was able to determine.
Thank you, Ms. Patterson. One further question that that I have, or a couple of questions that I have with regard to Farmers. You had mentioned some about or made some statements regarding their assets and investments. Are you aware of what the assets are? The investments are comprised of, and what their NAIC ratings may be.
I did look over the Schedule D, and also talked to the analyst. For the most part, they are non-affiliate investments, and I say that because they do have a number of subsidiaries, mostly insurance, a lot of insurance several other insurance companies. They're 70% of the cash in invested assets are in bonds, and a very high percent, almost 99% of those bonds are investment grade. So I did take into account some of those types of things. Their total assets were $9.2 billion. And it's,
one other question with regard to the premium deficiency reserve that you mentioned. You had testified that they... Farmers did not record a premium deficiency reserve. Can you tell us whether they've ever, to your knowledge, recorded a premium deficiency reserve, and to you, what the significance of the lack of a recording of a premium deficiency reserve is?
Objection, no foundation.
I'll rephrase.
Would you rephrase it? Frankly, it's a very clear question to me, but please rephrase it.
Ms. Patterson, what is the significance of not recording a premium deficiency reserve?
That indicates to me that the company has done an evaluation of their premium rates and has determined that the premiums are sufficient to cover. And this is from an accounting standpoint. The accounting guidance says that a premium deficiency reserve would be established if the unearned premium or the future installment premiums would not be sufficient to cover the losses and expenses for the policies that they've written.
You've testified that in looking at the various statements of Farmers, you noted that they did not record a premium deficiency reserve.
That's true. And I recall that I believe it was both on their 2002 statement. No, I would just have to say it was on the 2002 statement that they disclosed that they had done the evaluation and they had determined that it was not necessary to set up that reserve. And then I also noted that on the June 30th statement that there was not a reserve that I could tell that had been set up.
Okay, Ms. Patterson, switching gears now to Farmers, or Fire Insurance Exchange. If you would, please give us the result of your analysis or review of the material that you've reviewed in preparation for this hearing today with regard to Fire Insurance Exchange.
Okay. With Fire Insurance Exchange, I also looked at the 2002 annual statement and the two 2003 quarterly statements that have been filed with us so far. I also spoke with staff here at the department. I looked again at the both the amount of the assets, $1.5 billion, quality of the non-affiliate investments or bonds were about 65% of cash and invested assets, and 96% of those bonds were investment grade. Looked at, again, their premium volume, about almost 20% of their business in 2002 was here in Texas. Part of that was homeowners, and part was fire and allied lines. As a matter of fact, the larger part of their Texas premium is made up of those lines. And that percent dropped slightly as of June 30th. Their Texas premium as a percent of their countrywide was about 18.8%, so it was roughly about 1% lower. Fire also reported net losses from 1999 through 2001. They reported net income in 2002. Again, I looked a little bit at the underwriting loss, the investment gain exceeding the underwriting loss, the fact that they recorded a bit of a tax benefit. And then moving into 2003 at June 30th, the net investment gain did exceed the underwriting loss, but they recorded federal income taxes, so that overall they reported a net loss of $4.3 million. I looked at at some of the same things, I think, that I talked about as far as their level of surplus. They have a little over $300 million. That also has increased slightly over the last, or a little over the last three periods, from 2001 to 2002 to June 30th of 2003. So it's gone from about 302, just short of $302 million at the end of I think that was at the end of 01 to it's roughly $311 million at the end of June. I looked again at the premium to surplus ratios. Those are under our general guideline of 3 to 1. Also looked at risk-based capital. It's a little over 270%, again, above any of the action levels. And so overall, those are some of the same types of things that I looked at on fire.
All right, Ms. Patterson, I may have been speaking to co-counsel at the time, but I can't recall if you mentioned whether or addressed whether or not fire insurance recorded a premium efficiency reserve, so I'll ask you now.
I may have failed to mention that, but no, the same held true. They had not recorded one either at year-end 02 or at June 30th of 03.
Ms. Patterson, you also said, let me ask you this. Earlier in your testimony, you had mentioned that you also looked at this, the information in the financial statements and reviewed information with regard to whether the reduced rates would lessen competition or create a monopoly in any market. Could you expand upon some of your findings with regard to that issue?
Objection, no foundation.
I want a lot of questions. Go ahead and respond, Ms. Patterson.
I can rephrase it if you want me to.
Go ahead and rephrase it, but it's quite clear.
Ms. Patterson, what information did you review in connection with this case today to draw the conclusion that you stated earlier with regard to whether the reduced rates that have been proposed for fire insurance and farmers would either lessen competition or create a monopoly in the marketplace.
Okay. As I indicated earlier, being over the financial program, we do a little, I call it cradle to grave, I guess, from initial incorporation and licensing of companies. One of the things that we have done over time is kind of monitor segments of the market. And in this particular case, we've watched the industry for homeowners and looked at market share and so forth. And so that is one of the things that I'm aware of that we have and that I looked at was a report that shows that there's well over 100 companies that write homeowners business here in Texas. We have licensed several new Lloyd's companies in about the last year that have indicated and are set up to write homeowners. I looked at the market share for the two farmers exchanges themselves. Fire Insurance Exchange at the end of 2002 had 6.23% of the Texas homeowners market, and Farmers Insurance Exchange had 5.61% of the market. But we have, but as I indicated, there's over 100 companies writing. There are new companies coming in, discussions with different companies' management in my capacity in my position have indicated that that there is some interest in writing homeowners business in Texas. And then we do have the FAIR plan.
And Ms. Patterson, to make it crystal clear, throughout the answering of the question, you had mainly referred to or explicitly referred to homeowners insurance coverage, and I want to clarify at this point by asking you the same question with regard to the proposed 5% reduction in Fire Insurance Exchange fire and allied coverage. Do you believe that the proposed 5% reduction in the base rates currently in effect for Fire Insurance Exchange, their fire and allied coverage, will endanger the solvency or substantially lessen competition or create a monopoly within any Texas market?
Okay. That 5%
reduction. Objection, no foundation. Second objection is that's not in the pre-filed testimony. If I stand to be corrected, please correct me, but I don't see anything about the 5% in the pre-filed testimony. No, he's standing corrected. I withdraw the second objection.
Okay. I was finding the exact site so I could correct you, but you found it yourself. Thank you.
Yes, when I looked at Fire Insurance Exchange, and that's the only one that of the two that the 5% applies to, I took that in the context of the overall looking at the financial condition, the impact, the estimated impact of premium, and whether that would have a pose an endangerment to the solvency of Fire Insurance Exchange. And based on the financial condition of Fire Insurance Exchange, relying on the conclusions of our actuaries, I determined that the reduction would not have endanger the solvency of Fire Insurance Exchange. I don't have a similar report as I do on homeowners. It's the data, I believe, for fire is combined more with is a combination of personal lines and commercial, so I don't have the same type of report. But the decrease, I believe, I have to go to my notes here, is the estimated decrease in the for the fire. 5% for, say, the remainder of this year would be approximately $1.2 million in the case of Fire Insurance Exchange. And I have no reason to believe. I have had discussions with over time with company management, right, fire coverage, fire and allied lines, and based on those discussions and the amount of this impact, in my opinion, it would not be a substantial decrease in either competition or create a monopoly.
I'm going to object. The last portion of the answer is non-responsive.
Counsel?
I have no comment to the last objection, but I do have one further question before I pass. Ms. Patterson, in looking at the statements, is there one or maybe more very notable things that you might want to state with regard to Farmers Insurance Exchange? Let me rephrase the question. Did you look at their surplus?
Yes, I did look at their surplus. And in the case of Farmers Insurance Exchange, their surplus at June 30th was a little over $2 billion. And at the end, and on Fire Insurance Exchange, it was a little over $311 million. I did look at that. And I would also like to add, there was one other thing that I looked at that is a normal thing for us to look at when we're looking at financial condition. I also looked at the AM Best rating for the companies. These companies are rated A by AM Best. The group is. It's a group rating. But it is A. It's excellent. Best, from our records, removed a... They had... had the companies under review. I believe that was in September of 2002, and that has since been removed. And the Farmers companies carry a Farmers and Fire carry an A rating or excellent. But in response to your question, that was a little follow up that I'd forgotten to mention earlier. That I did. That was one other thing that I took into account. But in response to your question, I just go back over the policyholder surplus for Farmers was a little over $2 billion at June 30th, and in the case of Fire Insurance Exchange, it was a little over $311 million.
That's all we have on direct. We pass the witness.
Thank you.
Ms. Patterson.
On the cross.
Tom Rogers. You said that AM Best rated the group A, correct?
That's correct.
But you said that they were under review at the end of 2002, which has since been removed. Tell us what under review means.
Well, I think that they have some issues that they want to that they're just aware of, and they want to follow those. And so, yeah, I don't know that I have the specific details on AM Best, but they have noted something. My understanding is that they have noted something that they want to watch. And consider, and in the case of Farmers, they apparently got satisfied and removed that under review.
And is it your testimony that it is your opinion that if the rates for Farmers Insurance Exchange and Fire Insurance Exchange for homeowners are rolled back 17.5%, that Best will not put the A rating under review again?
My understanding, and I will tell you what I'm going to, my understanding is that that's not the way that they will, that they look at things. And I'm basing that on the fact that I stated earlier that I do participate in the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. And regulators, I think, across the country had for some period of time been aware that the actions of rating agencies, that we take what the rating agencies do and what their findings are, and that in some cases, particularly in commercial business, that can impact the business that companies have or are trying to write. So at the NEIC, we created a new working group called the Rating Agency Working Group. It's chaired by New York. We're a member of that group. And the idea there was to build relationships with rating agencies. I've had discussions with those folks, and part of that was in building those relationships, points of contact and so forth. I've had some of those discussions about whether the rating action of a state, the regulation of rates in a state would impact the rating. And my understanding is that they would not go that specific. Rates are regulated differently across the country. The indication that they have given to me is that they would base it on the company results and discussions with the company and so forth, and not on a specific state's regulation of rights.
Now, you were asked, if I understand it, to examine whether the rates determined by the department under Article 5.26-1 for Farmers Insurance Exchange and Fire Insurance Exchange were inadequate. That term is defined in the statute, correct?
No, that's not correct. My question, I guess, or what I looked at was whether the rates, and I leave the rate, I'm not an expert, I'm not an actuary, and I did not review the rate filings, the detailed rate filings, or make a determination on the rates. My part was to look at whether that reduction would endanger the solvency or whether it would create a substantial lessening of competition or create a monopoly.
Okay, what does the solvency or the lessening of competition have to do with rate making?
Well, the rates eventually impact solvency.
So I'm not clear as to what your charge was to prepare the opinion that you prepared, which, as I understand it, is TDI Exhibit 20, which is an affidavit with exhibits for Farmers Insurance Exchange and an affidavit with exhibits for Fire Insurance Exchange. You said you were asked to opine on the solvency, or whether this rate would affect the solvency of the exchanges or would have the effect of substantially lessening competition. I'm asking you, why were you asked to do that?
Because I am the I am over the financial program, and we monitor and regulate solvency.
Article 5.142 of the Texas Insurance Code defines inadequate rate. Are you familiar with that provision?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And a rate is inadequate if the rate is insufficient to sustain projected losses and expenses to which the rate applies, and continued use of the rate, A, endangers the solvency of an insurer using the rate, correct?
Yes.
Or has the effect of substantially lessening competition or creating a monopoly with any market, correct?
That's correct.
And you're here to testify that the rate determination made by the Texas Department of Insurance for Farmers Insurance Exchange and Fire Insurance Exchange does not endanger the solvency of the two exchanges, correct?
That's correct.
And will not have the effect of substantially lessening competition or creating a market monopoly in any market, correct?
That's correct.
And you testify you're not an actuary, correct?
That's correct.
Now, several times you stated that your conclusions or in making your conclusions and in rendering your opinions, you relied upon the actuarial conclusions of the department's actuaries, correct?
That's correct.
And who falls within the term you use, department's actuaries? Who are those people?
Well, there are a number of actuaries in the department, but in this particular case, Dr. Crawshaw was probably the main one.
Okay, so when you say
there are others, and I don't know specifically. I was not in on all of those discussions. I am aware of what their conclusions were.
Besides Mr. Crawshaw, or Dr. Crawshaw, I'm sorry, I didn't mean offense. Besides Dr. Crawshaw, tell me which actuaries you relied upon in rendering your opinions here today and in TDI Exhibit 20.
Well, um, I have to, I guess, limit it to him, to him and to Bill Presley, I believe, was, you know, I've had discussions with Bill Presley. I guess I've relied mostly on the two of them.
And who, which Presley?
Phil.
Phil, okay. Tell me what Phil told you or what documents or work papers of Phil Presley you reviewed in making your conclusions.
I think what he's trying to get at here is something that Ms. Patterson is not qualified to testify on. She has been designated as her expert witness with regard to solvency, which is a prong of the test under which the law requires to that relates to inadequacy. And she is not going to be, as I said before, qualified to testify on anything other than what she has testified on. And as far as how the rate was derived and the statement that she's made, that she has to work off the assumption that the rates that were given to her by PEI actuaries are adequate, it should be enough in this line of questioning. She can't go beyond that and still be qualified to testify.
Rogers?
My response, Commissioner, is in both of her affidavits, if you will, in TDI 20, she states in paragraph 6, based upon my review and relying on the actuarial conclusions of the department's actuaries, I believe that the reduction of 17.5% in the base rates for homeowners coverage currently in effect for all rating territories with no change in other rating factors will not endanger the solvency of farmers. So, since she relied upon the actuaries,
which I believe she testified to,
I'm entitled to know who we're talking about. And if it's just Dr. Crawshaw, that's great. But I am at least entitled to know who she relied upon in making these opinions.
Well, if that's all that the council is asking, who she relied upon, I'm okay with the question. But if it, and she's answered it.
And she's answered it. So, Mr. Rogers, I believe the answer was, as I got in my notes here, Mr. Presley and Dr. Crawshaw.
Okay, and my next question is, what did Mr. Presley provide the witness that she relied upon?
I don't have work papers. I saw at one time the letter that was going to, I believe, and I don't have that in my possession now, and it's been a little while since I've seen it, but there were letters issued to the exchanges indicating what their rate reductions were, what they were being directed to do.
Other than the letter to the two exchanges indicating the rate reductions, were there any other documents authored by Mr. Presley that you relied upon in making your conclusions here?
No, sir, I don't recall any.
Is it safe to assume that you principally relied upon the actuarial analysis of Dr. Crawshaw in making your opinions in this case?
I truly don't know how the work was split between them, but I think Dr. Crawshaw was the main one, yes.
Now, is it your testimony that based on the... Let me back up. When you say you rely on the actuarial conclusions of the department's actuaries, have you actually reviewed Mr. Crawshaw's various reports that he has generated in these two cases?
No, I have not.
What did you review, actuarially speaking, by Mr. Crawshaw that formed part of the basis of your conclusions in this case?
Well, as I indicated, I relied on his conclusion, and his conclusion was that the rate should be reduced by these respective percentages. I want to say one other thing. I did see at one time, and quite frankly, I think this was in the paper, a list of the companies and what rates they were directed to reduce. I'm just trying to be clear on the things that I
Okay, so when you are telling us that you relied upon the actuarial conclusions of the department's actuaries, the conclusions you're relying upon is just simply the conclusion of Mr. Crawshaw that the rates for the exchanges should be rolled back 17.5%, correct?
That's correct. I've stated that I'm relying on the conclusions of the actuaries to that extent. I'm not an actuary. I'm not, my expertise does not go to evaluation of rates.
And you didn't go back and test whether or not that 17.5% was correct or not.
Because that's not my level of expertise, I would not have had any way to have tested that.
Now, did you use the statutory definition of inadequate when you made your analysis or the actuarial definition of inadequate when you made your analysis?
I based my analysis on the conclusion of our actuaries that the rates, and part of this is in discussion with Dr. Crawshaw, is that the rate would be, I recall Phil Presley again was in those discussions, but that the rates would be sufficient to cover the losses and expenses. And actually a little profit. Would you repeat the question, please?
Yes, because I was going to just object, non-responsive. You read my mind. When you made your analysis and informed your conclusions and opinions on inadequacy, did you use the statutory definition in Article 5.142, or did you use an actuarial definition of inadequacy?
Go ahead,
counsel.
Ms. Patterson's already made it very clear that she looked at this from a statutory standpoint and has repeatedly, and I've asked her repeatedly, based her conclusions upon, and she's made it very clear that she's not an actuary and she's not qualified as an actuary. She doesn't play one on TV, and for him to be asking her whether she used the actuarial definition of inadequate or in any way try to elicit an answer that makes her speculate upon what actuaries use or consider when they determine the rate, is out of line. We've made an objection, and I think the council is still going towards information that's not within the qualifications of Ms. Patterson testified.
I simply want to know if she used the statutory definition of inadequate from Article 5.142.
All right. I will try to answer that. The statutory definition of believe that you're referring to is the one that says, and I think you read this earlier, is that it's, the rate is inadequate if the rate is insufficient to sustain losses and expenses to which the rate applies, and continued use of the rate endangers the solvency or has the effect of substantially reducing competition or creates a monopoly. The first part of that, where the rate is insufficient to sustain losses and expenses to which the rate applies, I am not qualified to make that actuarial determination. And for that part, I relied on our actuaries. And our actuaries determined or concluded that the rate reduction, with the rate reduction, that the rates would still be sufficient to cover the losses and expenses and a little profit. And so when I say I relied on our actuaries, I was relying on our actuaries for that part, and then determining what's the current financial condition of the two exchanges, and would use of that rate then, as I indicated, I'm relying on our actuaries. I saw nothing that would endanger the solvency of these two insurers.
So if, in fact, the actuary is wrong, the department's actuaries, then your reliance upon them would result in a different opinion.
Well, I want to clarify that I have great reliance on our actuaries.
Not my question, Ms. Patterson.
And I understand that. Quite frankly, even in that case, and I would like to repeat probably three times that I'm very confident rely on our actuaries. But the level of the rate reduction that we're talking about here, compared to the, for example, the surplus of either Farmers Insurance Exchange or Fire Insurance Exchange, that amount is a very, very small percentage of their surplus.
Objection non-responsive. Back to my question.
The
actuary is incorrect. Is that?
I'm going to overrule that objection.
That's not what she said.
You want to go ahead and rephrase?
Let me ask it this way. As much as you like the actuary, whatever they tell you is good enough for you, correct?
They are very well qualified, and they have done, in my opinion, a very good job for this department.
So I take it
your
answer to my question
is yes.
Yes. Okay. Now, you expressed the opinion that the rate determination made by the Department for the Exchanges will not have the effect of substantially lessening competition in any market, correct?
That's correct.
Please define for us, if you would, the relevant market you analyze to formulate your opinion on competition.
Primarily the homeowners market. As I indicated on the fire and allied lines, we don't have exactly the same data, but I'm relying on just my knowledge in the role that I play here at the department.
So are you telling me you didn't define a market for fire and allied lines?
That's true. I'm going by the just my overall opinion in talking with companies and being aware that there's a number of carriers that write fire and allied lines.
Okay, tell me your relevant market definition you use for the homeowners market.
We do reports and bear with me just a minute. The chart that I'm referring to primarily is the one that lists the homeowner riders and gives a percent, market share percent, based on 2002 data. But I also stated that I'm also aware of several Lloyd's companies that have sought to get licensed here in Texas over about the last year, and I'm also aware of the FAIR plan.
What is your definition of the homeowner's market that you use to make your analysis? Let me make it easier. What is your geographic market?
The state of Texas.
What is the product market?
Homeowners.
Does that include tenants and condominium owners?
I don't know the answer to that.
Would you agree with me that they might or should be recognized as separate economic units in a market analysis?
Objection. I think for purposes of her review, it's been well established that any kind of breakdown of the market analysis, other than what's normally included in homeowners insurance and what she's looked at is going to be in areas that she's not qualified. I think what counsel is getting at, again, is trying to elicit testimony from her that tenant and other coverages are split out for actuarial purposes. For her purposes, They aren't, and I truly believe that counsel is trying to trick the witnesses into answering something that she's not qualified to be answering.
Well, I agree with counsel, Your Honor. I don't think the witness is qualified one whit to talk about
I object to that.
The effect of substantially lessening competition or creating a monopoly within any market. I know she's an expert in solvency, and I will concede that. But I don't think she has the expertise to render the opinions on competition or monopoly within a market, and that's what I'm entitled to explore with her. Now, she's already conceded she doesn't have a market for fire and allied lines, and so I'm just pursuing the homeowner's market at this point.
If Shaman will stay within the realm of her expertise, I'm sure he will find the answers that he's looking for. And if counsel will also look at what's been marked as TDI exhibit, I believe, number 9, which is Ms. Patterson's pre-filed testimony, it does include a chart that breaks down the homeowner's market for Texas and does show the percentages that each company that is licensed here in Texas holds. So it leads me back to my previous conclusion. That counsel is going down the path to trick and elicit testimony from the witness that she's not necessarily qualified to testify about, because he's breaking down the market in terms of what the actuaries will look at rather than what she looks at for her purposes.
Well, I'm inclined to answer with Steph. Just a minute, please.
I'm sorry.
A lot of questions as to your knowledge, and if the question is, do you agree, you can either agree or disagree with them. And Mr. Rogers, perhaps you should save some of those questions for the actuaries. I'm not going to direct you what to do, but to the extent that you go into actuarial breakdowns of specific markets, I suggest you save those for your for the actuaries' cross-examination. Ms. Patterson, you can answer as to your knowledge, and you can either agree or disagree with them.
Okay. And I stand by that. I am operating off of financial data available to the department, filed here at the department. It is what companies report as homeowners premium. That has been a way that we have monitored the market activity here and the line of homeowners. It clearly gives a list of many riders here, and beyond that, the just based on that data, the overall over $4 billion in homeowners premium that's written here, reported here, and written here, what the calculated percentage rates for each are. I consider that a report of based on financial data here and available, insurers calling it homeowners insurance and looking at it in that regard. In the case of Fire and Allied, while I don't have exactly the same report, I would point out that this particular rate reduction for the Fire Insurance Exchange estimated what the annualized effect was, and that was about $1.1 million. That quite frankly is again, even just for Fire Insurance Exchange compared to the premium that they write here is a fairly small percentage. And I do know that they are not the only company writing Fire and Allied Lines here.
Ms. Parrish, what was the date you made your market analysis for Fire Insurance Exchange and Farmers Insurance Exchange?
The date of my analysis?
Yes, your market analysis.
It's based on the annual 2002 data. I've looked at that report various times over the last few months.
When did you make your market analysis for Fire Insurance Exchange and Farmers Insurance Exchange?
I've been aware of them being on this report for some period of time over the last several months. In preparation and with my testimony, I signed that last night.
So I take it your answer to my question is September 4, 2003.
That was when I concluded it.
Did you draft these exhibits that are the testimony of Betty Patterson and TDI Exhibit 20?
Working with my attorneys, yes.
Now back to your market for homeowners. You don't know whether your market included tenants and condominium owners, correct?
No, because I'm basing that on it was reported as homeowners insurance on the statements filed.
Did you make any determination of whether or not tenants and condominium owners should be recognized as separate economic units for a market analysis?
I did not make that determination.
In making your market analysis, what did you determine the market share was for Farmers Insurance Exchange for homeowners, including tenants and condominium owners?
As I stated, I can't say that I can't make a determination of everything that was included in Farmers' numbers. I am going by the numbers that Farmers reported as homeowners, and the respective market share that we calculated was for Fire Insurance Exchange 6.23% and for Farmers 5.61% for Farmers Insurance Exchange.
Okay, the 5.61% for Farmers Insurance Exchange then includes what?
What Farmers Insurance Exchange reported as homeowners insurance premium in Texas.
And the same for the 6.23 for Fire Insurance Exchange.
That's correct.
And you made no further analysis.
I relied on their reporting that it was homeowners, so if I... saying no further analysis, I'm not sure what you mean by that.
What was the market share of Farmers Insurance Exchange for residential fire and allied lines when you prepared your report?
I don't have that percentage.
What was the market share for Fire Insurance Exchange for residential fire and allied lines when you prepared your report?
I do not have that percentage.
And, of course, you're telling us that when you made your market analysis, you made a separate independent market analysis for Farmers Insurance Exchange, correct?
Quite frankly, I looked at these two companies. I did look at them separately, but a lot I looked at them together, too.
So it's fair to say your market analysis is a consolidated market analysis for the two exchanges.
I did take that into consideration, but each one of them has their separate writings and reporting. I did look at the fact that between them they had over 11% of the market.
What market are you referring to?
The homeowners market as reported by insurers writing homeowners premium in Texas.
In making your market analysis, did you treat the different policy forms, the HOA, HOB, and so on, as separate economic units for making your analysis?
No, I did not.
So going to residential fire and allied lines, since you didn't define a market, I take it you really didn't make a market analysis for fire and allied lines, correct?
No, I'm relying on my position and my general knowledge that I know that there are other writers of fire and allied lines, and the fact that this was a 5% decrease for fire insurance exchange, which amounted to, as I indicated before, about a 1.1 to 1.2 million impact for fire in relation to their overall writings here. Again, I do know that there are any number of other companies writing fire and allied lines.
My question was, you didn't define a market for fire and allied lines for fire insurance exchange or farmers insurance exchange. That's been your testimony. So I take it you did not make a market analysis.
Not in the same reporting and way that I did the homeowners.
Now, at the time you made your market analysis for homeowners, what competitors did you consider in your market analysis?
Competitors of the two exchanges?
Let's just start with Farmers Insurance Exchange.
I looked at the report that shows all companies or the other companies that reported writing homeowners premium in Texas.
Which ones were writing new business at the time you made your market analysis?
That was not reported.
Which ones were not writing new business when you made your market analysis?
That information was also not available in the data.
Well, what percentage of your market is not writing new business?
That is not available in the data.
Now, going to Fire Insurance Exchange, which competitors did you consider when making your market analysis for homeowners for Fire Insurance Exchange?
Would you repeat that question, please?
At the time you made your market analysis for Fire Insurance Exchange, tell me what competitors you considered.
The other companies that reported Texas homeowners premium.
And which ones were writing new business?
That data is not available.
And which ones are not writing new business?
That data was not in the data available.
And what percentage of the market that you analyzed was not writing new business?
That information is not in the data.
Now, it's your opinion that the rate reduction determined by the Department for the Exchanges will not have the effect of substantially lessening competition or creating a monopoly within any market, correct?
That's correct. In this particular one...
Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. What do you mean by substantially lessening competition?
Well, I evaluated lessening competition where there would... I personally think that the lessening of competition to some degree coincides with monopoly, that there would not be enough players in the market so that there would be competition among riders, or that any one rider would obtain an extraordinarily large share of the market. I also want to say that one of the things that I do monitor just in my position are the withdrawals from the market and in general, just the activity there. So that it also included in some of my understanding and my evaluation. My general knowledge and discussions with my staff over time.
Is it your opinion that lessening competition is synonymous with creating a monopoly?
Not necessarily, but as I said, they could be looked on together.
Now, when you made your analysis on competition, was your analysis based on premium dollars written, number of policies written, new business, renewal of existing business, what?
As I stated, I looked at the report as the premium that was written, Texas homeowners premium that was written or reported.
Tell us at what point in your analysis for your homeowners market you determined that a rate reduction for Farmers Insurance Exchange would have the effect of substantially lessening competition in the homeowners market.
I don't believe that was my charge.
Surely you came up with a number making your market analysis.
No, I looked at the numbers and the estimated impact premium in this reduction, the other players in the market, and I based my analysis on that information.
Tell us at what point in your analysis for your homeowner's market you determined that rate reductions for Fire Insurance Exchange would have the effect of substantially lessening competition in the homeowner's market.
Would you repeat the question, please?
Tell me at what point in your analysis for homeowners, your homeowner's market, that you determined that a rate reduction for Fire Insurance Exchange would have the effect of substantially lessening competition in the homeowner's market.
At what point in my analysis, if this is the same question, I did not determine what the... Are you asking me what percentage?
I'm asking the same question for Fire Insurance.
I know, and I'm rethinking that question, making sure that I realize that it's the same question. But I guess, are you looking for, did I establish some percentage? Because that's what I understood on the earlier question.
Yes.
All right.
Commissioner, I object. The question, I can't even understand it.
I'm having a real difficult time.
Vague and ambiguous, and frankly, I believe he's really badgering and beating up on the witness. I wish he would get to the point.
Mr. Rogers, is there a point to all of this? And if it is, I wish you'd make it and not badger the witness.
Your Honor, I'm not badgering the witnesses. The point to all this is that the department's view is the burden of proof is on the two exchanges to show by clear and convincing evidence that the rates would be inadequate. The statute defines inadequate to include the solvency test and the competition test.
Yes.
This witness has been...
I think he's misstated the law. There's an or there. There's a solvency test. Or,
I didn't interrupt counsel. I'd appreciate it.
Well, I just want to make sure we're clear on the law here.
This witness is testifying as to the market component of this and has rendered an opinion that this rate reduction will not have the effect of lessening competition and will not have the effect of creating a monopoly. And I'm entitled to cross-examine her about the basis for that. Now, we've already established she didn't do a market analysis for Fire and Allied Lines. So to that extent, I would suggest that her testimony in her affidavit for Fire and Allied Lines has to be completely disregarded. And right now I'm focused on what is the homeowner's market. And so far...
Let's let the other counsel respond. Can we let him respond?
Yes, sir. Commissioner, we have presented evidence and we have answered that question numerous times. We've made the point that the market analysis that we looked at for the homeowners market was based primarily on the exhibit that's attached to Betty Patterson's pre-filed testimony, and that would be the chart that breaks out the market, the homeowners market in Texas by company, and reflects the percentages that they have of the market. If he wants to know something specific about the chart, ask it and refer to the chart. But we I really don't know where he's going other than just badgering the witness and trying to intimidate her. He needs to ask specific questions about the evidence that's been presented.
How about you, Counselor? Can we get you to ask specific questions?
I have been asking very specific questions.
About the evidence that was presented?
Well, it's all here in the affidavit. When she says, will not have the effect of substantially lessening competition or creating a monopoly with any market in Texas, there it is. That's where I'm going. It's that simple.
And do you have a question about the evidence presented?
Tell me, if you would, the definition of your relevant market for your monopolization analysis.
I think she's already answered that. She said the state of Texas and referred to the chart.
No, we are talking about the competition analysis. Now we're on
the same. The same held true with a monopoly.
Okay, so you had a relevant market for homeowners, but you didn't have a relevant market for fire and allied lines.
Let me clarify that. I said I don't have the same type of report for fire and allied lines. There are, my understanding in fire, the data will not just get to, in the case of homeowners, in fire and allied, it will have very likely some commercial business there too. I don't have the same report. But in my position, I am aware that there are insurers writing fire and allied lines in this state. And the reduction, the $1.1 million reduction in the farmers' fire and allied lines, I do not believe would lessen competition, substantially lessen competition, or create a monopoly.
Okay, let's go back to fire and allied lines then and tell me what your relevant market is.
And I have told you that I do not have the same type of report. I am going by the fact that I've been in the financial program for a number of years, including right up to today, and I am aware that there are writers in that market. I am aware for a number of reasons, just in information that we periodically comes up with discussions with staff when there is a filing for a withdrawal and so forth. That's one of the purposes of looking at or considering that, is to try to make sure that there isn't a disruption in the market. So while I don't have the same report, I have the general knowledge that there are other writings, and this decrease of $1.1 million to farmers is not really, in my opinion, even material to farmers, or to fire insurance exchange, excuse me.
When you use the term monopoly, what do you mean?
One or a very, very limited number that would have an extraordinary percent of the market. And over the years, I've dealt with this term as we have looked at acquisitions, for example. To my knowledge, there is no set definition of what percent reaches a monopoly. But I go back to looking and taking into consideration that there are other riders in the market.
Tell me what monopoly analysis you have made in the homeowners market in Texas.
For homeowners, I have looked at the report for written premium that insurers have reported for homeowners written premium here in Texas, and we have calculated the total market share.
Tell us what factors you considered in making your monopoly market analysis. Just listen for me, if you would, please.
I looked at the percentages, and there was not anyone that had these percentages have stayed roughly within ballparks, I think, over a period of time. And there was not even one that went over, for example. And I'm not saying that this is the set definition, but it not anyone, for example, went over, say, a 50%.
When you talk about percentages, what are you talking about?
The percent of Texas market share, the homeowners, the premium that each insurer reported for 2002 for their Texas homeowners premium compared to the total of that for all of the insurers?
Was your market share analysis for Monopoly different from what you made in your competition analysis?
Commissioner, objection. I don't know how many times he's going to ask the same question, and I'm going to object and give the same answer. We directed him to the exhibit on Ms. Patterson's pre-filed testimony, and we've said that's what she's looked at, she's relied upon. If he wants specific answers with regard to the market analysis that's reflected on that chart, let's get to the point and ask them. Otherwise, we'll be here all day long and all night at this rate.
Well, Mr. Rogers, I think I would tend to agree with counsel. I think the witness has expressed that she has based her analysis on that exhibit in front of you. I think we can stipulate that that's what she based both competition and the analysis regarding monopolies on that exhibit. I think if you need to ask specific questions regarding her exhibit, I wish you would ask them, directly, and quit going over the same questions on a repetitive motion. Frankly, I'm not sure where we're going with this, and if you have a point to make with it, I sure wish you get to it.
Well, I think my point has been made to a large extent. Tell me, Ms. Patterson, the analysis you made of the effect of regulation and the industry-wide rate reductions that had been ordered by the department in your market analysis.
Please repeat the question.
Tell me where you plugged into your market analysis the effect of the industry-wide rate reductions being made by the department that are subject of all these hearings.
Objection, no foundation, and if counsel will read the affidavit itself also.
If counsel will also read the affidavit, we've got testimony in there that answers his questions without asking questions that have no foundation and continue to badge the witness.
I'm entitled to know, Commissioner, if she took it into account. I mean, the department has ballyhooed that we have rate reductions going wide, industry-wide, and that Governor Perry says, well, hail, H-A-I-L. I push for change that would bring true stability and fairness to the marketplace. And I asked her where she plugged this into her market analysis.
Hang on a second. Just hang on one second, everybody. Mr. Rogers, I just don't find in the affidavit that that's the basis of her testimony. If you want to ask a question, did you consider the overall impact? That's a different question that regarding an analysis that she's not presenting.
Okay, I'll ask it that way. Good suggestion.
I wish you would, and that way we can all get on with life here.
Did you take into account in your analysis the effect of regulation and the industry-wide rate reductions being made by the department?
For what?
Mr. Rogers, I hate to offer assistance to you, but
please do. I'll take all I said.
Is your question to the witness, did she consider the aggregate effect of all of the rate reductions ordered by the department in this particular proceedings, or did she consider the aggregate of all the rate reductions totally in their reflections on the market in Texas?
The rate reductions being ordered by these proceedings
in
her market analysis.
As it relates to the entities in this proceeding?
Yes, because okay. She has opined that this did not have the effect on the rates for the entities in these two proceedings. Don't have the effect of lessening competition in any market.
Understood.
And don't create a monopoly
Understood.
In any market.
Understood.
And the whole point of my examination is, what market are we talking about? What market did she analyze? And then what was the basis of that analysis? So the direct question here would be, when you made your market analysis, did you take into account the effect of regulation and industry-wide rate reductions being made by the department in these various proceedings?
Not just this one.
Commissioner, I'm getting confused with counsel's questioning, and I think we've answered this I don't know how many times. He keeps asking, what market did we consider? Well, we've told him what market we consider. We consider the Texas homeowners market, and it's set out in the not only in the text in the affidavit, but and primarily in the chart that's attached to the affidavit. It splits out by company and by percentage of the market that they hold. Ms. Patterson has testified. She looked at that and analyzed that and analyzed the capacity of the market to withstand and meet this test. I don't know how many is.
I'll ask the witness to answer then Mr. Jarman's question that he posed.
And there we can get Mr. Jarman to repeat it. A lot of discussion has transpired since. And maybe we can even stipulate as to what the analysis was based on.
So let me offer this stipulation. And can we agree that you didn't take into account the effect of rate regulation in your market analysis?
No, and I think I have hit on, and I will try to give this, what we'll hope that this will respond. In the issue of monopoly, one of the effects that I took into account that could happen is that in ordering a rate reduction, that any insurer's rates could be so low that everybody wants to go to that one insurer. So to the extent when you say, what did I take into account, I took into account the fact that Farmers and Fire Insurance Exchange are not in a vacuum here. Their rate reduction, they were one of several insurers that were directed to lower their rates. Several of those have, didn't need to, not the ones that were directed to, but several others did not need to be, weren't directed to lower. So I did take that into account that it was not fire. It was not that these two exchanges were just in isolation and that they were the only ones being directed to lower their rate.
Does that get it for you, Mr. Rogers?
That leads to another question.
Hi.
What rate level did you determine would be the rate level where everybody would run to another insurer?
I did not calculate
objection
such a rate.
Objection, Commissioner, that lacks foundation. If counsel could rephrase the question, I'm not sure where he's going, but I kind of suspect I may have another objection.
I'll
hold off right now.
Hang on a minute.
Why don't we take a short break?
I believe that question has been asked multiple times now and answered multiple times, Mr. Rogers, and I can't believe you're torturing us through another pass of that yet again. But I think we're going to take a little break right now. I'm going to let you think about your questions. And I think maybe we can crystallize what it is that we're trying to get at and then get there. And then we will do that when we come back at 3:30.
Thank you, Commissioner.